This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Richard Bradbury. I'm with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Is Enterprise Biz Bites, joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvaraj,
Frida Liu.
It is Motivational Monday. We have a couple of motivational stories, depending on how you look at it. Excuse me. Starting off with a story about logging in and breaking up the new easy way to get a divorce online. Is that motivational? Is it?
Depends how you look at
Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Story number two. We've been speaking for a while about the facial recognition software in China and about how effective it's been, and they could identify a man amongst a crowd of 50,000 people. Well, in the UK, the police face recognition software misidentified 2,300 people as potential criminals. Story number three, four counterintuitive tricks that can make anyone more creative, or in other words, four ways to trick people into being more productive. Finally, story number four, the Grab and the Ministry of Health will be working together to reduce traffic congestion around hospitals. Sounds like an interesting story.
Right.
First off, though, divorce me, Arvind, please.
Yeah, so this is specifically for England and Wales, but it's a pretty interesting concept because the Ministry of Justice has a new online divorce pilot that it launched nationwide this month as a part of its as the department's 1 billion modernization program. So it basically allows couples who are splitting up across England and Wales to complete their applications on a website without ever going to court. Language has been simplified for the digital form, and it also allows payment and evidence to be uploaded from home. They tested out this whole system with about 1,000 petitions, and 91% of users said that they were satisfied with the service. One woman even responded to the survey and said that it was marvelous, pain-free, and less stressful than the paper form, which I tried several years ago but got fed up because it kept getting rejected.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was marvelous.
It was marvelous.
Not exactly a phrase you'd expect in a divorce filing.
Yeah, no. But according to the ministry, this should reduce the stress of breaking up. So you're coming back to her saying it's marvelous, because I think she expected to go through like a whole tedious process of, you know, going up and down. But then this should reduce the stress of breaking up by allowing divorce applications to be made online. More people will have the option of moving from paper-based processes to online systems, which will cut waste, they say, which will speed up services, which can be safely expedited and better fit the modern lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So pretty interesting stuff. This is not their only initiative, their digital IT initiative. They're doing a bunch of other things, like they're testing out virtual courts for tax tribunals where claimants can participate in hearings from home via webcams or phone cameras. They can even use Skype. There will also be more remote video hearings and online pleas for minor offences, video replay facilities for jurors in their rooms, and fewer courtrooms as well.
Okay, for the other areas. No, I mean, it's also, I guess with this, they'll see 6,500 court and backroom jobs disappearing across England and Wales by 2022.
Yeah, so that's what they say is their only, not their only, one of their biggest concerns. So it's it's not the government's concern per se, but it's people who are in the legal profession. So they are worried about their jobs.
Well, I'm not surprised. There's a huge backlog in the UK, and part of that is because of all the red tape of the legalese and one thing or another. If you've ever been into a lawyer's in the UK and you open one of their back rooms, it's not full of servers, it's full of old files that... I mean, one of my first jobs ever was to take a whole bunch of files from one room and transfer them to another. And some of them had been in there 50, 60 years, and they wanted them all putting in order and filing properly. And I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking, there's no wonder things take an age to get stuff done.
Yeah, I mean, from a time where filing meant filing actual files, not organizing files in your laptop or something like
that. And I guess from this, both sides have to sort of fill in as well.
I would imagine
it can't be just one person. Speaking from experience, I think this is great.
Yeah. I mean, not speaking from experience, but looking at it as what it is. I have friends that have actually used this service, and they've really kind of shined a light on the whole issue, saying, you know, it's not using the word marvelous. It was good. It was very fast. You know, they've sorted out their problems. They haven't had to meet in court again. They've done it all from the comfort of their own homes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helped a lot of
people.
It's
tedious. It's time consuming, you know. it's you know, and everyone's in Malaysia anyway.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of people doing it, and everybody's sort of looking at each other, you know. And I've got a fairly recognizable face.
Right, right.
I mean, it should
TMI.
It should. I don't know. They're saying they haven't said if lawyers will still be needed in this process. That's what they haven't highlighted. I mean, like if two people file for it at the same time,
yeah. We don't need lawyers anyway. Come on.
No, I mean the middleman, you know, yeah. That's what I'm saying, because you still need someone to come in and sort
do the
paperwork, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that they haven't spoken about. They haven't said how lawyers will fit into their whole system. But lawyers are pretty worried because there have been more than 250 courts that have closed since 2010, which is a huge number.
Mm.
And also, like Frida said, 6,500 court and backroom jobs disappearing by 2022.
Okay, I'd like to know what people think about this at home. If you were given the opportunity and you needed to get divorced, you know, would you prefer to do it from the comfort of your own home online? Simple question. Let us know, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Arvin will be driving today, so please go gentle. I can expect a steady stream of messages coming in. Let us know what you think about this, genuinely.
In the comforts of your home.
From the comfort of your own home. Mm-hmm. We'll move on to story number two whilst we wait for some messages to come in. So ask critics of police face recognition and why they're so sceptical, and they'll obviously cite unreliability as a factor. What if the technology flags an innocent person? Unfortunately, that caution appears to have been warranted to some degree. Staying in Wales, South Wales Police are facing a bit of a backlash after they released data showing that their face recognition trial at the 2017 Champions League final misidentified thousands as potential criminals. Out of 2,470 initial matches, 2,297 were false positives.
They're all watching football.
92%. Yeah.
All the criminals are watching football.
So here's what the police had to say about this. They pinned the results on both poor quality images from Interpol and UEFA and the novelty of the technology. No facial recognition system is 100% accurate under all conditions. This is what they wrote. Also quick to defend the overall track record, noting that there had been 2,000 positive IDs in 9 months with 450 arrests and no people mistakenly taken into custody. The accuracy is believed to be improving, although there's been some false positives around events since June. So the absence of mistaken arrests supports the force's claims that there are extensive safeguards. Officers still check the initial alerts to see if they're authentic, and an intervention team can interact with the target to determine whether or not it's the right person. Even so, the gap between the number of potential matches at the Champions League final and actual arrests is hard to ignore. Privacy issues notwithstanding, there's a chance that false positives could bog down officers who are looking for suspects in urgent situations.
Mm.
Very different story over in China.
Yeah.
Why are we seeing problems in the UK? I mean, they're talking about, you know, bad data being sent in from Interpol and from UEFA. You would have thought that Interpol would have had some pretty clear images of the people that they're chasing down, surely.
I don't know. This comes back to, we always ask ourselves, like, how come China is able to do something and the rest of the world is not?
And then the answer is?
The answer is because they have less stringent rules.
And a huge data set. A
huge data set. And it's also that they're more open. I mean, their bodies are more open with like, government bodies are more open with their private bodies. And they share information amongst each other, whereas in Europe and the US, they're more close. Like even like something like Facebook, they won't share information with the authorities even if there is a criminal case involved.
Interesting that you say that, because for a while the UK was the most surveilled country in the world before China took over.
Yeah.
You know, just a few years ago. I mean, it was literally you would walk down the street and they said something like within 10 minutes you had been photographed on average 250 times in the UK, depending on an average high street.
Proof that the Chinese all don't look the same.
This, oh dear. Anyway, okay, let's take a very short break before things get out of hand here in the studio. Do remember, we are asking you a question. Our first story was about the login breakup, the new easy way to get a divorce online. Is it something that would appeal to you if necessary? Let us know, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. When we get back, 4 counterintuitive tricks that can make anyone more creative. You're listening to BFM Enterprise here on BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Clearly, all of you at home are happy in your marriages and will not want to use an online divorce service as we were starting off the show with earlier on. Login Breakup. It's a new easy way to get divorced online, starting off in Wales and the UK. We're asking you guys at home if you had the opportunity to and needed to, would you choose to use that service over the traditional get in the office with the lawyer, go to court, do the whole thing, do the whole rigmarole, can go on for months and months and months, or you could do this. It's almost instant online. Moving on to our next story, though, about counterintuitive tricks that can make anyone more creative. Very curious. Tell me more.
Oh, no, I love this article. This came out from Fast Company, and it says that here that there's these tricks when we put ourselves against these sort of things that actually brings out the best in us. And we basically, this person, Whitney Johnson, author of the new book, Disrupt Yourself, Putting the Power of Disruptive Innovation, where she said, we think we want wide open spaces when we're trying to start something new. But in fact, having some constraints, having something to bump against, that gives information and that can be a tool of creation. And I think about, you know, the hackathons where they're supposed to be there over the weekend and coming up with an idea. I personally hate it, but I know that when you're pushed against the wall,
when you're in that pressure cooker.
Yes, and it says if you watch Project Runway as well, when they make these, you know, these dresses and clothes and all whatever, and they're given this sort of limited time, that's what forces them to be a little bit more creative. So a couple of tricks that you can give yourself, and I've seen myself unknowingly do that as well, right? One of which is to give yourself less time. Done is generally better than perfect. So an easy way to create a constraint is to give yourself an aggressive deadline, which you can then publicize to raise the stakes. So you know, you put it on Facebook or social media and then everyone's sort of pressuring you.
Like you say, oh, I'm going to be stopping smoking next Monday. You know, and you put it online and you've created your own monster there.
So say you normally take a week to write a report for a client. Suddenly you have to write it in one day. You make different decisions. It's Parkinson's law, I guess. When you know you've got a limited amount of time, I'll get you mysteriously, magically, it gets done, right? Yeah. And then, you know, your thinking actually changes. So you become very focused on whether any given section helps make your case or not, simply because you won't have the time to write it if it doesn't. So apparently, devotees of the National Novel Writing Month, in which people write a 50,000-word novel in 30 days, swear by the time-constrained approach. So the resulting manuscripts are seldom great, but they exist, and something can be turned into something better, unlike nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So the other one is to give yourself less money. Let's go. A lot of people tend to like throw money at the problem, but now the trick is to restrict access to your budget. So Johnson recommends telling yourself that whatever I try first probably isn't going to work, so I'm only going to allocate 20%. To the first iteration. The rest of your budget is reserved for later steps. Having less cash forces you to figure out what's working and what's not, and figure out creative ways to do any given step for less. And I find that actually works as well. You get more creative. Okay, I don't have X amount of money. I only have this amount of money. What can I do with this limited amount of money? And there is a way, right? But so if you can put that money aside and say, okay, I'm only going to work on 20%. What else? How else can I be creative with this
one? Call in your favors, you speak to your friends who can help you out, and that kind of thing.
And leveraging your network. So the other one is to go outside your expertise, right? So expertise is valuable, but expectations can kill creativity, which is one reason how sequels are as good as the original or film. Few are good, right? So spark new thinking by aiming your skills in different directions, such as J.K. Rowling. So we know her for her Harry Potter books in it as well, but she decided to write crime novels. So require yourself to be a fish out of water. You approach things with fresh eyes and may poke at conventions at the same time. So, you know, sometimes we're good at certain things, but we just need to put ourselves in a place where we get uncomfortable again, right? And then that's one way. Aim to win the doubters. This is going to be a tough one. Excuse me. You know, like we all love cheerleaders, but putting yourself around people who aren't convinced of your brilliance is its own kind of constraint. So skeptics force you to talk about and articulate what you're trying to do. If you get yourself in front of three people who don't agree with your idea, you'll soon figure out what's worth keeping and what's not, and you'll come up with new ways to frame a project.
Big fan of that.
Right?
Yeah, that's something
because
I use
we would automatically go with people who will say, fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to work. Everything is great. No, I'd much rather stand in front of somebody and say, no, tell me why this will work, and then you explain it, and then it? No, I don't think so. Right. Give me some more pointers then. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
You just need to burst your own bubble.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it really, really helps.
It does.
Now, Arvind, there was one back here that, you know, you've been a previous freelancer as well. Mm-hmm. The idea of having less money on a budget, you know, and working, how, you know, how have you coped with that in the past?
This is just like purely from a design context. You mean like, so less money that comes from the
client? The client, yeah.
The client,
you know what they're like. We want it swinging or dancing, award winning, but you get 15 ringgit.
I want to see the front of the elephant.
Yeah, the front of the elephant. So this one is tricky because when you are either you're starting out as a freelancer or even like midway through, you don't know if you should compromise your design because you're being paid less, or should you still keep that much quality and put that much effort in it, no matter how much you're being paid. And I think it's always important, like even though it doesn't matter about the fee so much, you still need to figure out ways to give the person the best product possible. So I agree with that. I mean, it does put you under pressure, but it also forces you to think of ways to come up with the best result under like a lower budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you take that to the client and you said, "Well, this is all you're paying me for," mm-hmm. what kind of reaction do you often get then? Though it's normally, you know, we prefer something a little better.
So again, it comes back to, you know, how how understanding they are. Like some of them will say, like, you know, you can do this for exposures, you can do this for your name gets out there. None of that, you know.
Doesn't pay the bills. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't pay the bills. So you have to. It's a tough decision making process. But when you're just starting out, this is not when you've already had like your portfolio. Once you have your portfolio, then you should be able to demand for more. But when you're just starting out, it does force you to think of ways to, you know, to get better at your craft, I guess, under like less time, less budget, and fewer resources.
All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a very short break, folks. We've got some music coming up from The Doors and then The Police. But just a quick reminder, we are looking at a story, we started off with it. Log in, break up, a new easy way to get a divorce online. It's a Ministry of Justice website in the UK that will allow couples to avoid stress of appearing in court, but worries persist over trial by Skype. Let us know what you think about this. If you had the possibility of getting divorced or even going to court via Skype, is this something that you would consider, you know, if let's say, for example, you hadn't paid your taxes? Keeping it quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9. We will be back in just a few minutes with our final story of the day, how Grab and Ministry of Health are working together to reduce traffic congestion around hospitals. Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
It is Monday, of course, the 7th of May. We started off with a story about logging in, breaking up, the new easy way to get a divorce online. Asking you guys at home if you want to get involved, if this was something you would choose given the option. Let us know, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. We then moved on to a story about how police face recognition software in the UK and Wales. Misidentified 2,300 people as potential criminals. Not exactly helpful. Frida then had four counterintuitive tricks that can make anyone more creative. And now our final story, it's a local one, how Grab and the Ministry of Health will be working together to reduce traffic congestion, specifically around hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Especially with this initiative. So they've partnered with the Ministry of Health to provide designated pickup and drop-off points at selected hospitals throughout Malaysia. Most of these are government hospitals, so it helps even more, I think.
Right.
They're doing this to offer door-to-door transport service as well as reduce parking congestion at hospitals. So currently, at the moment, there are 16 hospitals that are part of the program. Just to name a few, there's Hospital KL, Hospital Selayang, there's Hospital Pulau Pinang in Penang, Raja Permaisuri, Bainun in Perak, there's Hospital Sultana Aminah in Johor, Tuanku Jaffar in Negeri Sembilan, and Umum Kuching in Sarawak. There's also one in Sabah, Queen Elizabeth. So you can get the full list at grab.com.my. So basically what they're doing is new Grab users can use the Grab MOH code to get 4 ringgit off 4 rides, while current users will get 4 ringgit off 2 rides. But the thing is, the code is valid for only the first 5,000 redemptions every month and can be used until February 28, 2019. And Grab says that they are doing this as a part of their initiative to serve as a truly Malaysian company, and their aim has always been to work with more government agencies and services to help serve the community. So this is like a year-long thing. I think it lasts up to March 2019.
February.
February. Yeah, the code will be up to February, and then this initiative, it says, ends in March. Yes.
You know, this is really, really handy because, you know, I've just had to use this service of late because I had to, you know, go to the UM hospital. So I'm surprised that's not on the list because that's a very, very busy one and it's going through renovation at the moment. So I'm just going to see.
I'm just guessing that there'll be more and more added to this list throughout the year, perhaps.
Yeah, they haven't mentioned about adding more, but of these 16, it's quite obvious that it's mostly government hospitals, not so much private, because I think the parking around government hospitals is insane.
And you're stressed.
And you're stressed.
And you don't want to, you know, you're looking, visiting someone who's sick or whatever, and, you know, last thing you want to be
worried about
is parking.
Yeah, for sure.
And then sometimes if you look at UH in PJ, if you park, there's the only easy place to park is up front. And when you park up front, then you get summons.
For sure.
Yeah, and once you park in the parking, then you have to walk, I think. You have to walk so much. Even if you're not well, you have to keep walking through the wards and blah, 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 just to get to the registration and stuff. So I think this is a good idea. It's it works like any one of the other promo codes where they have like designated parking spots. I think they had a few of these for some shopping malls and a bunch of other like places of interest and stuff. But this is good. I guess, you know, for people, especially if they want to reduce their fee going to the hospital, they don't want to park. Nobody wants to take their cars there. So yeah, this is pretty good. I love this idea.
I can tell you that parking around hospitals is not just a Malaysian problem. Is it indeed a universal problem? I remember when I went home recently to visit my mother, and we had to take her for the hospital for a few tests and one thing or another. And my friend parked at the car park, and it seemed like it was a mile away from the actual hospital building. You know, but and you have to walk all the way there. And unlike here, we don't have, you know, covered walkways or anything like that. And it was snowing back then.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's not very useful at all. Anyway, right, let's take another short break. We've got some music from Lynyrd Skynyrd and some Aerosmith. And then when we get back, some events that we think you might want to check out this forthcoming week. If, though, you are still interested in that story, log in, break up, a new easy way to get a divorce online. Is it something you'd consider? Let us know. 018-789-8899. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj,
Rita Liu.
Final talk set. We're going to give you some events that we think you might want to check out later on in this week. Arvind, what have you got?
Yeah, so the first event is called Are You Ready, Player One?
Smart.
Clever, very clever. It's actually for a board game called Leverage, the game of business. It's happening on Thursday, the 10th of May, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's by Spark Activators, and tickets are priced at RM94 to RM188, depending on what tier you buy. Leverage is basically a game that will show you how to work your way into super profits and at the same time show you how to create a business that works for you. The stuff that they cover will be how the five ways can impact your growth, the growth of your business, how to keep score in your business, how to consistently deliver and distribute your product or service, and how staff development can change your business, and much, much more. It's basically like a more casual, fun way to learn about all these things, so they're inviting you to play along. You can get your tickets at ptix.com.
Okie dokie.
Right. Over the weekend, 12th and 13th of May, Launchpad is organising the Cyber Jaya Startup Summit. Early bird tickets are 100 and normal tickets are 200, 250. I don't think the early bird applies. It's this weekend. I don't know. Check it out. I think you can go to
PTIX.
Yes, go to PTIX. Just do a search for Cyber Jaya Startup Summit. So this is a two-day summit consisting of talks, workshops, interactive panels and pitching sessions where startups can learn new insights, recruit talent, raise funding, network with fellow entrepreneurs and industry experts. The theme of this summit, inaugural summit, is sustainable entrepreneurship. And so this event created by the community for the community. So who they've got there, they've got startup founders, techies, investors, government agencies, corporate partners, accelerators.
Radio hosts,
right? And why you should attend, come explore panel sessions with carefully curated topics that are insightful and very relevant to the startup ecosystem in Malaysia, speakers and valuable networking. So you can go and check out, I think, cyberjayastartupsummit.com, and I think you can register from there as well. Go on Saturday, 5 p.m., Women in Entrepreneurs.
Why is that? Who's hosting that session?
I don't know. Fabulous women.
Fabulous women, right. Right, okay. That's all the time that we have for today, of course, but we'll quickly run through the stories that we covered. And if you did miss any part of this show, don't forget you can listen back to the podcast via the BFM app, which is available on the Apple App Store or, of course, on Google Play. We started off with...
Yeah, so the Ministry of Justice has launched a new and easy way to get a divorce online in England and Wales.
And back in Wales, the police force have misidentified 2,300 people on their face recognition software, all as potential criminals.
All watching football,
yes.
Third story, four counter-intuitive tricks that can make anyone more creative. It works.
It does?
Then we spoke about how Grab and the Ministry of Health are working together to reduce traffic congestion around hospitals.
Right, but do not go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. The global halal market was valued at an estimated $5.73 trillion in 2016. As this trajectory continues to increase in the years to come, Malaysia is positioning itself to become a global halal hub. What a phrase. Leading the charge is Halal Development Corporation, whose main role is to facilitate that industry. Find out some of the fastest growing sectors within the lucrative industry. This morning, the Breakfast Grill spoke to the CEO of Halal Development Corp. It is Datuk Sri Jamil Bidin. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Do not go anywhere. Music coming up from Badfinger with No Matter What, followed by a little bit of Rooney with I'm Shaking. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.